From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. School districts around Massachusetts have turned to the state's National Guard to help kids get to school amid a shortage of bus drivers. WBUR's Carrie Young has been reporting on the effort and joins us now. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Arun.
So tell us, what are you hearing from districts? Are the Guard members helping, and how much?
So far, it sounds like they have been helping. You know, when I called up the folks at Chelsea Public Schools, for example, this was a couple of weeks ago, they told me that at the beginning of the school year, they were just having so much trouble. They were getting dozens of calls every day from parents saying that the school bus or the school transport van was late, 30 minutes late, or just didn't show up at all. And now they say that's much reduced. It's one or two a day, and sometimes it's not even every day. So it's definitely making a dent in things, it seems like.
And how were people feeling about the idea? You know, I thought at first kids would just think it was awesome having, you know, people in military uniforms picking up their kids. But then you think about areas where might have more residents who are immigrants, people who might be undocumented. That could be tough for some kids, right?
Yeah, that was a big concern on the minds of school leaders in Chelsea. The superintendent there actually told me when I called her up about it that her first question for the governor's office when they called her to see, you know, if they wanted that help from the National Guard to begin with was, do they have to wear their uniforms? So the answer to her was yes. And she thought about it, talked to a few other people in her leadership circle, and she ultimately decided to take them up on the offer because she realized that the National Guard is around the community a lot. It's not a new thing. During the pandemic, they were distributing food and helping out with vaccines. And, you know, I did hear this very thing from parents, too, when I talked to a couple of folks. This parent I talked to in this story, Jaime Carrillo, he is from El Salvador. He moved to Boston more than 20 years ago, and he's feeling pretty good about it. Let's hear what he had to say.
Bueno, sí, eso yo pienso que es normal, porque más que todo lo que están recién venido.
So he told me that seeing the guards in town is normal for him, and that they're welcome here, actually. And he told me that he feels pretty safe having his son get picked up by one of them every day.
Oh, that's great to hear. Now, the guard members aren't driving the big yellow school buses, right? They're driving the smaller vans that are typically used to transport students with special needs. Does that kind of driving require special training?
So, yes, it does. And so the decision for the guards to drive these smaller vans ultimately came down to the fact that it just required less training time than driving a much larger vehicle. That actually had a 3-week span, and the districts just didn't have time for that. So they settled on these smaller vans, and they did get special training for dealing, you know, with some of the special needs that some of these students would bring with them. So whether that's, you know, getting a student who needs a wheelchair or some other type of mobility device onto the van, or even just having a really productive interaction with someone who might have an intellectual or developmental disability. So this was a huge concern for parents in the Special Education Parent Advisory Council in Chelsea, but I spoke with them recently, and they said that the district has been in touch a lot with them just to make sure their concerns are being addressed and that things are going okay. And the bus contractor that is working with a lot of these National Guard troops also told me that they're getting the same training that any of their drivers would get. So that put these parents' minds at ease, too.
Now, this is kind of turns into sort of a feel-good story, but obviously, having National Guard help with bus driving, that's not a permanent solution. What are officials going to do? What do they feel about recruitment once the National Guard is not helping anymore?
Well, right now, they're feeling pretty optimistic, actually. Since early September, NRT, which is the bus contractor that Chelsea Schools uses, they've tested about 85 new people, and they have plans to do even more this week. And also, for the first time, the Registry of Motor Vehicles has offered to administer the driving test for these bus drivers in Spanish. John McCarthy, the CEO of the bus company, said that is going to make a huge difference in his ability to recruit.
So that was huge. That was a huge shift to allow this testing to be done in Spanish. Now, have we done it in all languages? No, we started with the Latino community, only because they work as monitors for us now. And, you know, we'd like to get them behind the wheel.
So far, about 25% of the people that NRT has sent for driving tests last month took advantage of this Spanish version of the test, and they all passed. McCarthy says that this is a good opportunity for everyone, really, because it helps promote people that already work for the company. You know, it's upward mobility, a little bit more money, but they also know the students really well, too. So it's something that, you know, they can keep people in the system and students don't have to get used to a lot of new people. So far, it's been a win-win, and he's feeling good about the number of people that are coming in.
Carrie, this is a fascinating story. It's just great to get this detail on it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
That's WBUR's Carrie Young. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Families from Afghanistan evacuated in the Kabul airlift are beginning to arrive in Massachusetts, and some local resettlement agencies serving the western part of the state are wrapping up preparations. Shannon Hansen is the program manager for Services for New Americans, part of the organization Essentria Care Alliance. She says they're receiving a lot of help from established Afghan communities in the area.
Whether it's helping provide interpretation or orienting them to the community, the neighborhood, helping find grocery stores where they might be able to find, you know, more traditional foods, things like that, that they've really wanted to help step up and offer that help.
Many evacuees arriving are classified as humanitarian parolees. The Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement is now granting parolees eligibility for some benefits. In other news, last year we largely avoided the worst-case scenario of a twindemic, a simultaneous surge of flu and COVID cases overloading hospitals. But repeating that success could be a challenge this year, with more kids in school and fewer pandemic precautions in place. Dr. Daniel Solomon with Brigham and Women's Hospital says it's impossible to tell COVID and flu apart based on symptoms alone.
So if we have both viruses circulating, I think we need to scale up testing infrastructure so people can know if they have influenza or if they have COVID. We're going to do different things for quarantine and isolation for the different viruses.
Solomon says the best thing you can do is get your flu shot. And if you want to get it on the same day as your COVID shot, Solomon says that's fine. It's totally safe and effective. Meanwhile, readers beware. Local retailers say that they may be short on books as the publishing industry deals with paper and labor shortages. Most of this season's expected big sellers have already been printed, but Vicky Titcomb of Titcomb's Books on Cape Cod says other titles could be hard to find.
The problem is going to be with reprints. I think sometimes that publishers are caught by surprise. A book will suddenly, there'll be a big demand for it. And trying to get a book reprinted these days, it takes a lot longer than it normally would.
Titcomb says that if you see a book you want for yourself or as a gift for friends and family, don't wait too long to buy it. It could sell out. And finally, Boston was at its best during the city's official observance of Indigenous Peoples Day yesterday, starting the day with the 125th running of the Boston Marathon. For the thousands who ran the 26.2 miles, it was worth the year and a half wait. Here are a few of them.
I'm on cloud nine. I'm so, so happy.
It's exhilarating. One of the best moments of my life.
Just having the crowd cheer all the way through makes every step worth it.
Two Kenyans, Benson Kipruto and Diana Kipyogi, won the men's and women's divisions, respectively. Two Swiss athletes won the wheelchair divisions, Marcel Hoog and Manuela Schaar. And what a great holiday for Boston sports. The marathon was followed by a playoff win at Fenway. The Red Sox victory over the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League Division Series means the Sox will advance to the American League Championship Series, where they'll face either the Chicago White Sox or the Houston Astros. Yesterday was the first time there was baseball at Fenway on Marathon Monday since April of 2019, and I'm pretty sure it was the first playoff game on Marathon Day. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since the Boston Marathon and the Boston Red Sox, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. You like podcasts. Here's another podcast you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Join Adam Monahan, longtime producer of Roadshow, for stories of sales, fakes, and even federal crimes. Subscribe to Detours wherever you get your podcasts.